Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to that little book of Jude, right at the end, almost at the end of your Bible. Last book but one. We're still at verse 1 in this book, so quickly let's read verse 1 together. Jude, that's who the writer is. He's introducing himself. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. That tells us exactly who he is. To them. Now here's the address on the envelope, as it were. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We have been considering who it is that Jude is writing to. We have been considering the titles that he gives them. He doesn't start off as perhaps we might if we were sending a letter, dear auntie, dear uncle, dear mommy, dear daddy. No, he was writing to a whole host of people, including you. Well, here you are reading the letter that he sent out. But he does put a name on those to whom he is writing. He calls them three things. They are those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now last week we considered the first of these titles that I wanted to study with you. We're starting on the title that refers to us inside and working out. In other words, we're taking the reverse order of the titles that are given here. Jude addresses them by titles that refer first of all to their outside, then works in. Well, we're going to reverse that because I want you to learn how three things are related to you if you're a Christian. First of all, we considered this last week, you're called. That's what started the whole business of you becoming a Christian. God spoke to you, like he did to Adam, way back at the beginning of Genesis. Adam the sinner was hiding from God, and God spoke to him, called him by name. Adam, where art thou? You know, I can't help, whenever I come across a verse or a phrase, I can't help but immediately begin to think of what it means. And think of that question, Adam, where art thou? That would cause Adam to think, well, where am I? I'm hiding from God, I'm running away because of my disobedience. And the first thing God does when he speaks to us is to speak to us so as to cause us to think of where we are and what we're doing. And that happened when God spoke to you. If you're saved today, when God spoke to you, you became aware, I'm a sinner. I'm far from God. I'm hiding from God. I'm not where I ought to be or doing what I ought to be doing. If you're not yet saved, you haven't thought of it though. You've been putting your fingers in your ear to the call of the gospel. You don't want to think about being a sinner. You don't want to think about being lost and in rebellion against God. But the child of God is someone who has been called, and they've answered. They've heard the call, they've answered, they've responded. And if you're saved today, you have answered the voice of Christ. You have responded to the voice of Christ, even as Paul did on the road to Damascus. Who art thou, Lord? That was the first thing. First thing you had to learn as a Christian was who God is. And the Saviour on the road to Damascus responded to Paul's question. So, last week, we thought about God calling you. Imagine God calling you. Imagine God calling you. Sometimes we meet friends and they say to us, oh, it's lovely to see you. I must call on you. Meaning, pay you a visit. And you're glad to welcome them. If you're saved today, God has called on you. He came to you and spoke to you, and by his mercy, he awakened you to your lost condition and told you how you could be saved, and today you're walking in obedience to God if you're saved. Well, we want to go a little further and think about the second title, preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Jesus Christ. You know what preserved means. Kept safe. That's what the word means. But let's learn, first of all, from that little title, that if you're saved, you're in Christ. That's where you are. You're in Christ. That's where God sees you. For by his wonderful grace and power, he has placed you in Christ. That's a little difficult for us to fully grasp. But there is a verse of scripture that tells us that this is so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17 it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I see quite a few of you on the Lord's Day. And you come along here wearing your very best outfit. The girls are all nicely dressed up. The boys too. Wearing their best suit. Well, when you got saved, if I might put it like this, God put you into Christ so that now you're wearing him. You're wearing his likeness. You're wearing his beauty. You're wearing his holiness. Remember the prodigal son when he got home. Among the things that happened were the father put a new robe on him. That's what it means to be in Christ. You're wearing him. You look like him. And more we should endeavor to look like him so that outwardly we show forth the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're saved, you're in Christ. You remember Noah? God said to him, go into the ark. He was in danger out of the ark, for there was a great storm coming. But when he got into the ark, he was all right. We read of David when he was hounded by King Saul, that he went down to a place called Adullam, where there was a cave, and he went into the cave. It was called in other places the stronghold, place of safety, safe from Saul. Well, you're in Christ, the place of safety. Then again, I want to just refer to what I have already touched on, the meaning of the name that is here given us. Preserved. It's written down here in English, but it's a translation of what was written by Jude in Greek. And the Greek word that's translated preserved, it carries the meaning to attend to carefully, take care of, to guard. I'm thinking of how in our home, perhaps there's a potted plant. It flowers nicely, but it has to be cared for. And if we forget to water it, it withers. It has to be cared for. Well, that's what preserving it means, caring for it. And that's what being preserved in Christ Jesus means. He cares for us, looks after us, looks out for us. What a wonderful thing this is. I thought of a number of illustrations from the Bible that would show what it means to be preserved by Christ. And the best one, I think, is that which we read of in Luke chapter 15, a parable there of the lost sheep. I'm going to read just a few words, a few verses from Luke chapter 15, the verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, that's the story of the gospel. If you're saved today, that's what has happened to you. And if you're saved today, I'll tell you where you are. You're on the shoulders of Christ. That's where you are. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, you're still wandering as a lost sheep, and the shepherd's calling you. But if you're saved, you're on the shoulders of Christ. It's a long, long time ago that I read an observation. I can't remember who it was said this, but whoever it was compared what is written here in Luke chapter 15 with another portion of God's precious word, and that is in Isaiah chapter 9. And the verse 6. Now that's a verse that most people think about when they're considering the birth of Christ. For Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's the Lord Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the bit I want you to notice. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, how does that differ from what we read in the parable the Lord Jesus gave to us, and which I read to you a moment ago? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Do you notice any difference? Isaiah 9 speaks of shoulder. The way a man would carry something on one shoulder. But Luke chapter 15 says shoulders. Shoulders. And the comment that I was interested in was that by looking at these two verses, we can come to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus carries on one shoulder the government of his creation. But when it comes to the saving and caring for and preserving of his people, he carries them on both shoulders. In other words, it might be rightly observed that God puts forth more power in looking after you than he does in preserving the world, preserving all of creation. That has to mean something very much to us. It shows the importance that God places upon us, upon you, and your preservation. Now, when a shepherd does search out a lost sheep, you couldn't drive sheep. You can drive a cow. An old cow will take instruction. But you can't drive sheep. That's why shepherds usually have a dog to help them, that will run round and keep them together and stop them herring off in every direction. So when a shepherd is caring for a lost sheep, he doesn't try to drive it home. He picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it home. That's what the Lord's doing. If you're saved today, that's where you are. I want you to realize that. That's where you are. And I'm sure all of us have seen pictures of shepherds, particularly in eastern countries, carrying the sheep. And he's holding the legs, isn't he? That's to keep the sheep from wriggling and trying to jump off. And you know, if you're saved today, the Lord holds your legs. Because, and I think of what was written in a hymn, and we often quote it in prayer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that's what a sheep would do. Up there in safety on the shoulders of the shepherd, if he let go of the legs, it would be kicking and wriggling and trying to jump off and go away. And it's only by the grace of God that we are kept from going back to our wandering and sinful ways. The Lord's hand is upon us, holding us in place. The Lord Jesus left heaven in order to find us, in order to rescue us. in that parable that I read to you, we can see the shepherd following the sheep, probably having to scramble about through rocks and brambles because that's where the sheep would have gone in its lost condition. But in like fashion, the Lord Jesus had to bear much in order to find us. He suffered much. Never forget the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in order to save you. He bore the hatred of men. I just read yesterday in my Bible, closing chapter almost of Matthew, the trial of the Lord Jesus. How they hated him. And when Pilate, the Roman governor, who could find no reason to execute the Lord Jesus, and he repeatedly pleaded with the crowd, I'm going to let him go, he's done nothing wrong. But they roared out, crucify him! His blood, they said, be upon us and upon our children. We'll be responsible for his death. Yesterday, there was a great gathering in Poland. Many of the leaders of the nations of the earth gathered to remember the massacre of 6 million Jews by Nazi Germany. Listen, boys and girls, that was the result, or one of the results, of the blood of Christ being upon the Jewish people. Oh, we love the Jew. Our Saviour is a Jew. We'll always be a Jew. And we love the nation of the Jews. But we see that today they're paying the price of their folly. The folly of rejecting the Lord Jesus. How they hated the Lord Jesus, but the Saviour bore that hatred. Then he had the pain of crucifixion. You older ones know the English word excruciating. It means pain of the most terrible kind. And the word excruciating comes from crucifixion. Because there was an immeasurable amount of pain associated with crucifixion, and the Lord Jesus bore that for you if you're saved. But his sufferings in seeking out the lost sheep of his people entailed more than the physical sufferings on the cross. He bore the wrath of God, unseen by human eye. Because when the Saviour was crucified, God caused great darkness to cover the land for a number of hours. And it was the case that the Saviour in that darkness suffered the wrath of God. God judged Christ for your sins, if you're saved. What you should have suffered for all eternity, Christ suffered on the cross. I love the words of the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He summed it up like this. At the cross, the Lord Jesus took the cup of damnation, that judgment which you should have borne for all eternity, and he drank hell dry for you. All that you would have suffered throughout eternity, all that I would have suffered throughout eternity, Christ suffered on the cross. That's what was entailed in finding and saving the lost sheep, that they might be brought to heaven. Now, we know at the end of that little parable, he brought the sheep home, rejoicing. That's where you're going, if you're saved. You're going home. Home to glory. Home to a very happy place. Home where, when you arrive, can I put it like this? Heaven will celebrate your arrival. God will celebrate your arrival. As will all the angels and all who have gone to heaven before you. It says in the parable that when the shepherd came home, he called all his neighbours and friends together. I think I'm permitted to say that when a Christian passes away and goes to heaven, they will find all heaven waiting to welcome them. Think of that. There's Adam. There's David. Abraham. And their great beaming smiles, like all the others in glory, welcoming the latest arrival. We're going to a funeral today, and of a dear lady I have known since the beginning of the church in Omagh back in 1968, I think it was. She died and went to heaven a couple of days ago, and that's the welcome she received. It's all going to end well, boys and girls, if you're saved. There's a great welcome for you in heaven if you're saved. But to be saved, you have to hear the call of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and laden with sin, and I will give you rest. And then he will gather you in his arms and place you upon his shoulders and carry you to heaven. He'll bear the burden of getting you to heaven. That's the joy of being a Christian. Tell me, are you saved this morning? Are you? If you're not saved, then stop your wandering. Obey the call. Yield yourself to Christ, and he will take you to heaven. Will you think about it? Talk to a teacher, to mum, to dad. Oh, get right with God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today for his name's sake. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we are in Christ and that we're secure in Christ. We're not going to fall off his shoulders. We're held there by the very hands of God. All the power of God is being put forth to bring us to heaven. The devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it. Nothing can stop us being brought to heaven. Christ will see to that. Bless the boys and girls today. Give them understanding of this matter. I do ask of thee. Bless the school today. Undertake for it and its every need. Pupils, teachers, parents at home. O God, look kindly upon us and provide for every need. This we ask, praying you will bless the word that has been spoken in weakness, Lord, to the boys and girls and to any who may hear it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.